infection instead of diseases.
Learn something new every day.
On 1340 WKGN.
Hey, big boy. I hear the way you read these headlines.
Tell you about the Hunger Games. Maybe we can go to a Golden Corral when we're done. How's that sound, Jenny?
Hour 3 headlines brought to you by our friends at Iris Networks. If you are a business owner, you want to step up your communication, have the best around with a local business. Someone right around the corner, built right here in Tennessee, that can take you all the way around the world. You can take your office with you on the go with their app. Because I know you might be working from home, might be working in the car. They understand that. They're going to help you. And like I said, fiber-based business solutions to supercharge your business. Iris Networks, make the switch today and make no payments for 90 days. Business owners, you need to listen up. Iris Network USA, Iris Networks USA with ES. IrisNetworksUSA.com, 865-448-IRIS. They would give up forever to touch you and connect you. Hour 3 headlines, Cam Black, Collision Course right now.
All right, thanks, John.
You're welcome. By the way, Ballstorm tweets in, we have named the Marlins movie Hotspot.
We need to go ahead and lock up those rights.
I feel like we need to get the ball rolling because they're going to win the division. You know, you don't always have to win the actual championship to make the movie. You know what I mean? Like, end of Major League, no one really cares that they went on to lose the World Series. You know what I mean? Just getting there was good enough for them. Go ahead with your headlines, please.
All right, thanks, John. We just mentioned the Braves stuff about them putting Albiz on IL, Matt Adams on there as well. Well, they are also reinstating Nick Markakis. So he's being reinstated from the restricted list.
Yeah, he had originally opted out and then said, you know what, I changed my mind, I'll come play. And then after he said that, now the Braves are, you know, dropping like flies, so.
Yeah, so he is getting back to the team. So that, I guess a little bit of decent news for them. Kind of sticking in baseball a little bit. Mike Trout homered in his first at-bat as a father. He just recently had a kid, and he went up to the plate and, hit a home run in his first at-bat being a dad. So congrats to him on dad, homer, everything like that.
Congratulations on having sex. Good job by you. Congrats on the kid.
Flex for him, but
and then
yeah.
Also hitting a home run. Equally as impressive.
Oh, yeah.
Which one do you think brought him more pleasure?
Ooh.
I think hitting a home run would probably be cooler. I've never hit a home run. I didn't play baseball past like 7th grade or 8th grade. I never hit a home run then.
You want me to take you out to a field and toss you a few just so you can get that feeling?
I would be really embarrassed if I still couldn't hit one.
There's no way you could.
We could give the tee and just
I don't think I could. I mean, I'm not arguing with you. I don't think I could either.
High school field? You don't think so?
No, I don't know.
No. Not if you, like, not underhanding it to him? No way.
What if we set on a tee?
It wouldn't be hard enough. The ball
would be
thrown
impossible.
Hard enough.
You have to get some force coming in.
Yep.
So you'd have to pitch it straight and relatively
hard.
Makes
sense. Yeah,
you have to have some force to send it back out.
All right, so a pitching machine.
Pitching machine. Mm-hmm. I don't think
you could probably hit it out on like a 200 foot fence.
Oh yeah, 200 feet. 200 feet, yeah. I can knock it out. But like you're talking about, how long is a regular high school field?
Like 330 down the corners.
So that's basically just the same as a major league baseball.
Yeah, pretty much. Maybe a little shorter. Every field's different though, you know.
I didn't realize you needed the incoming force, but that makes sense.
Can you juice the balls for me?
You can juice the bat.
Can I cork my bat?
Let's do it.
I'd be really embarrassed if I couldn't.
That's the thing. If you cork the bat, you gotta be able to. You gotta hit it out.
That's what I'm saying. I am a grown ass man. I would be so embarrassed if I couldn't go out there and do it. And I'd also be embarrassed at how excited I would be if I actually did hit one out. I would be. Either way, I'm getting embarrassed in this situation. Let's move on. I don't want to go play baseball anymore. I changed my mind.
All right. Well,
I'll just stick to trying to shoot threes on Thursday nights in my basketball league.
All right. Well,
about a 20% clip, but shooting them with so much confidence. The good news is when you play hard the rest of the way, play defense, pass, your teammates don't get mad when you're shooting 20% from three because they know you're trying. Let's move on.
All right, we'll kind of shift gears to the NFL. One of Cam Newton's ex-teammates thinks he will have one big problem playing for the Patriots and Bill Belichick. He basically said this player is Kyle Love. He had a tenure with both the Patriots and the Panthers, so he's familiar with both the environments and stuff like that. But and apparently Cam Newton was really coddled by the Panthers when he was there, which I guess kind of makes sense. He was their star player, everything like that. But this Kyle Love guy says, in his opinion, he doesn't feel like Cam can take the pressure of the coaches talking down about his play. He said if he had a bad game in Carolina, the coaching staff wouldn't say much to him because they may have felt he could be a little frail about it or maybe pout. They never really corrected to the point that Bill used to correct Tom. So this guy is worried that Cam Newton's going to not be able to take the kind of criticism that Belichick's going to throw at him.
What do we know about him when it comes to that? Like, I mean, do we know of any moments that would back up that claim? Because, I mean, he got pretty emotional after the Super Bowl and cut his press conference short. Yeah. But that was, you know, later revealed he was standing, like, right on the other side of the Broncos players, basically trashing him as a quarterback. It was like, we knew if we made Cam throw it, he couldn't do it. Mm-hmm. Basically, like, we knew he's not accurate enough. We know he's not a good enough quarterback, so we knew he could get him rattled. You know, after losing the biggest game of your career, you probably don't want to hear that. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Especially, like, here, it's one thing to do a press conference and have to answer questions. It's another to have to hear the guys who just shut you down, bragging about shutting you down. So that's the only thing that comes to my mind, you know, in terms of him not being able to handle criticism.
You'll see him get, like, super frustrated sometimes during games, too. With certain ways plays go or ref calls and things like that. He is a really emotional guy. I mean, we kind of know that just from, you can tell by the way he plays and his reaction to everything on the field. So, yeah, I don't know, especially if he hasn't really experienced it in his career. I'm sure it's a little new and it'll take some getting used to. Like, I don't think it will, like, make him be a worse quarterback for New England or anything. But
do we picture the Patriots as that type of coaching staff that, like, puts you down and yells at you? Because I don't necessarily feel like Belichick and McDaniels is that type. Like, now maybe we're wrong. Maybe we haven't seen it. But, like, I don't imagine they were dressing Brady down. You know what I mean? Like, I think the reports out of New England that made Brady and Belichick seem like they had a bad relationship was all basically like they were just icy towards each other. Mm-hmm. Not like, hey, he yelled at me and hurt my feelings and told me I sucked. It was just like basically he knew Belichick was going to cut him eventually and, yeah, like, going to move on eventually. I don't picture Belichick as a screamer.
Well, yeah, I don't know if he screamed or anything, but, like, the way the guy was kind of saying it in his quote is, like,
just any type of
he would
kind of,
like, correct. Yeah, he would, like, kind of correct and get Brady back after a bad game, but, like, in Carolina, Cam Newton didn't get any of that. He was just, they just left him alone.
I mean, you would think, and I don't know Cam Newton, you know what I mean? Like, I've liked Cam Newton for most of his career. You would think if you're signing in New England, you have to be, you know, willing to listen to Bill Belichick and Josh McDaniels. Mm. And you would think that would almost be a positive to why you signed there. You know what I mean? Like, he's going to make me better.
Yeah. Yeah. I think he'll be fine. I think he can take it. It's just, it will be new for him. So I think it'll be kind of, you know, he'll have to adjust a little bit. But I think he'll be fine with that for sure. A little world news. I'm sure everybody by now has saw the Beirut explosion in Lebanon that happened yesterday.
Is that how you say it? Beirut? I said Beirut. I didn't know.
Beirut? I have no idea.
Okay.
Yeah, I think that's right.
Okay. Well, it was in Lebanon, the capital of Lebanon. There was an explosion yesterday.
I said Lebanon, Tennessee, Lebanon. I've always mixed up on all these things.
Who knows?
Who am I to be judging the way you say anything, Kim? I apologize.
It's okay. I'll let it slide. But, yeah, I'm sure everybody saw that explosion by now. The death toll is up to around 135 at the moment, still thousands injured, things like that. But they determined the cause of the explosion was, of course, we saw it was a bunch of, like, stuff about fireworks and stuff like that. I think there was fireworks stored in this facility, but they also had 2,750 tons of ammonium nitrate unsecured warehouse in the cargo port, which they had apparently confiscated from some cargo ship at some point. But to kind of put that into perspective of how much stuff that is, if y'all remember the Oklahoma City bombing, they used 2 tons of ammonium nitrate to kind of, you know, I think that blew up one building and shattered about 200 and something more buildings. So, yeah, this is 2,750 tons of the same kind of stuff. So that's why that explosion was so big and so massive and created
Man, those videos that came out.
Oh, man, they're unreal. Some of them are crazy with how close some of the people were to it, too. But, yeah, that is a next-level explosion. Like, it was insane. So, I guess best of luck to the people out there with the rescue operations and stuff like that. But, yeah, like 4,000 people are injured, and I think 300,000 people were displaced due to this. But yeah, crazy stuff over there. Tory Lanez is reportedly getting deported back to Canada.
Tory Lanez is the one. He's the one that shot Meg Thee Stallion.
Yeah, right? Yeah, he was a rapper involved in the shooting incident.
That should have been a bigger story. I don't feel like that got covered.
Yeah, they kind of just slide under the rug a little bit because at first they didn't really know who shot her, and it kind of came out that I think it was him that shot her. But it was a whole thing. But apparently, I didn't even know he was Canadian. But apparently. He's gonna end up getting deported back to Canada.
Okay.
After all that stuff, so sucks for him. He probably shouldn't have taken away for. I don't know. She probably called him short or something. Everybody was making fun of him because they saw like on his his mugshot he was like 5'4", 5'5", something like that. So people were making fun of him.
He's very short.
Yeah.
She is. I mean,
she's like 5'9".
I was gonna say she's
5'10".
So much bigger than him.
Yeah.
Seems like a weird duo.
He probably thought she was going to beat him up. So.
Hanging out together.
But, yeah, so he's probably going to go back to Canada. So,
that's
which, I mean, I feel like it's a win because low-key because healthcare. No.
Here we go. We move out one liberal and out and move another one into the chair.
It's a joke. No, it's all sucks for him because I'm sure he likes being here. And he's going to be irrelevant in Canada. But,
I mean, he can still make music anywhere and it's still be fun. I can't get over all those tons of fireworks and tons of ammonium nitrates.
They just had chilling in the warehouse. Yeah, like, what are y'all doing? Unsecured warehouse. Like, you feel like that's something you should put a lock on the door for? I did
see that, like, the...
Explosive?
The leader. They have presidents. I don't know. Who basically says they're going to find who's responsible because that should not have been there. They should not have been uncovered and, like, all that in one place. So,
yeah,
someone's going to get...
They are launching an investigation. They're going to try and find out the cause in the next... 5 days or so, but yeah, that's crazy.
Okay.
The NCAA Division III fall sports have like just been canceled. They just announced fall sports championships have been canceled. So they just announced that they're not gonna be doing any championships. So yeah, that's one of the first dominoes. I know it's a lower level, but hey, it's a start. I guess they. I'm not sure if that came out of that meeting, but apparently it is their champ. Closing that championship down, and it has been canceled. So we'll see if it trickles over to D2 or even all the way up to Division One.
Well, I saw in D2 and D1, they basically came out and said any sport, any level that has over 50% of their teams or at least 50% of their teams cancel the season, there will be no championship. So I don't know if that's what happened D3, like if they just weren't gonna have enough teams to officially crown a champion. They're basically just like, hey, you're not going to be able to play against, like, 10 teams and call yourself national champions. Like, you have to at least have half the field there, I believe, is a part of the thinking there. All right, last headline, Big Brother back tonight. You guys pumped? Big Brother? Hayden? No?
I'm out.
You're out? Okay, well,
I got a beer headline for you.
A what?
Beer. Bud Light's giving whoever's city between Matt Prather and McManus in Denver. Whoever's for the kickers of those two teams.
I get it.
Yeah, whichever one of them kicks the longest field goal this season gets free beer for their city.
Okay.
So
that's weird. I guess those are the two biggest. I guess those are the two biggest legs in the.
I guess so, but McManus has never finished the season with a longer field goal than Prather though. So Detroit may be getting a lot of Bud Light this year. So.
All right. Yeah. We will do an NBA segment next. Let's talk sports. It's Fan Run Radio. Huge game. Huge game for the Grizzlies. About to tip off 2:30. Grizzlies Jazz. Cam gave the news and headlines. They're Jaren Jackson Jr. I guess their second best player. Maybe their best player. He might actually be better than Morant, but at least, Morant probably has a higher ceiling projecting, moving forward in terms of the face of the franchise. Maybe, potential face of the league in a couple of years just with his athleticism. But, Jaren Jackson Jr. has been really good for them. And he's out. Are we at the point where it feels like a must-win for the Grizzlies?
I'd say probably, yeah. I think the Jazz are probably one of the most winnable games they have left, if you can call any of these, like, winnable games. But, yeah, the pressure's on them now. The pressure's it was already on them, and now it's really turned up. So they do need this because, yeah, like we've mentioned, the other teams chasing that 8-9 spot, they're coming. They are coming.
Yeah, the Grizzlies are already 0-3. Compare that to the Suns, who are undefeated there. Compare that to the Spurs, who are 2-1, and their only loss being a heartbreaker. Like the Spurs have been playing really good basketball. They probably should be 3-0. They gagged away that game against the 76ers.
Mm-hmm.
Look at the Blazers, who, you know, in their three games, they are 2-1 with a win over the Rockets, which was really impressive last night. Like I said, you saw some flashes there. They have a top 10 player. They have a team that went to the conference finals last year. They had Carmelo turning back the clock and hitting some clutch shots, which was pretty cool. Like, I want to see Carmelo in the playoffs. We'll get one last, like, LeBron-Melo showdown, and I use showdown very lightly. But, I mean, that's always been fun watching those guys who, you know, same draft class, kind of compete head-to-head. Get one more of those moments. Let Melo kind of, you know, kind of reestablish himself, at least as a, you know, rotation player. It's still kind of crazy that he was out of the league for a year and a half just because the game had – The perception around his game had gotten so bad where people thought that he was just a liability, right? And then last night you saw him against Houston kind of show like, hey, I can still hit some shots. And there's always going to be a place for that in the NBA, you know what I mean? A guy who can knock down shots, hit jump shots. I can kick it out to you for three and have some confidence that you can hit a shot. Now, I don't want to, like, praise Melo too much. He was still 5 of 14, you know what I mean?
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
He was still not shooting and missing. But he grabbed 11 rebounds. And he hit a dagger three and was a good fifth option out there on the court. That's what you need. And the Blazers are right there on the doorstep. I do think they are going to get the 8 seed ultimately.
Mm-hmm.
But if the Grizzlies want to have any chance of even playing in that game, it feels like they have to win today.
Yeah. Yeah, I'd say so.
Feels like they got to win. They are a game and a half up on the Blazers, two games up on the Spurs. Both those teams right there on the doorstep coming.
Jeez, yeah, they close the gap fast on them. I mean, when you can't win, when you're not winning your games, that's what's going to happen. Jaren Jackson Jr. was the leading scorer in two of the three games
in the
bubble. So
yeah, I mean, game one against Portland, I think Jaren Jackson Jr. had like
33.
Even the game where he wasn't the highest scorer against the Spurs, he hit the three to tie the game with like 2 seconds left. So, like a couple of seconds left, he came through there. And hit a clutch shot for them. He's kind of their floor spacer, if you will. Because you saw in game three against the Pelicans, John Morant, I don't want to say streaky from shooting three, but he went 1 for 10 from three.
Yeah.
And like his lack of an outside shot really cost them that game, in my opinion.
Yeah, not sure why he was taking so many threes, but Jaren Jackson Jr. was hitting some threes, timely threes in that New Orleans game to kind of keep him in it, too, down the stretch, keep New Orleans from pulling away. So, yeah, I mean, they're going to miss him, but...
Brandon Clark going to get the start. Brandon Clark, I do think, if you feel great about the Grizzlies' young core, it's because of Brandon Clark, like, being a compliment there and, like, him kind of being that, you know, found diamond in the rough. Like, they didn't have a top pick to get him. They picked him, I believe, in, like, 22, somewhere in the 20s there.
Yep.
And you ultimately find a player that might end up being a top three or four guy from this draft class. So you add Morant, who's going to be a top four or five pick in this draft class, and you add Brandon Clark to that, and you feel really, really good about where you are. But, the Cinderella run, maybe you're seeing it run out of steam. They really need to beat the Jazz tonight, who, don't have much to play for other than seeding. I mean, and I even know if you're the Jazz, if you care about the seeding, because, I think for them, they would probably rather play the Nuggets, who currently have the 3 seed. Like, I think they should be fine falling back to 6.
Yeah.
Because if I'm them, I'd rather play the Nuggets than the Rockets, because...
Yeah, absolutely.
Because the Rockets just put Gobert out there in pick and rolls. And, like, you saw what happened last year in the playoffs when they played. Like, the Rockets made easy work of them. So, I would rather try my luck with the Nuggets and have, like, Gobert going against Jokic. And I feel better about my matchups there if I'm trying just to win one round of the playoffs. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And if you're Utah, you want to win one round, then you go and play one of the LA teams and take your chance. So, if I'm them, if I'm Utah, I'm looking today and saying, you know what, let's take it a little bit easier today. We're cool with the 6 seed. We're cool with playing Denver. That seems better than having to go against the Rockets.
Yeah, they are half a game up on the Oklahoma City Thunder right now, who play the Lakers tonight. So, tough game for them. But they've been playing pretty well.
Every team in the West right now has to feel like they have a chance. Now, the Jazz are probably the team I feel like has the least amount of chance out of anybody, just because, you know, they lost Bogdanovich before the year. He ended up getting surgery. And when I say before the year, I guess I should say before the restart. You know, he got surgery. He's like, you know what, I'm not going to the bubble. I'm out for the year. And he was their floor spacer. He was good. But they fell short unless Conley – although we did see flashes of Conley a little bit against L.A. where he looks like he was getting closer to his Memphis days than he had been in Utah. But he's going to have to be that all-star level of point guard for them to have any chance of winning any series, in my opinion.
You could tell their outside shooting was lacking last game. You could tell they were missing him for sure from deep. But, yeah, I think you're right. I think they are the team. It's kind of just like, when you look at them, they're not really a threat to do anything.
I don't feel like they are. And like I said, it's partly because their second-best player is a guy that you don't even feel comfortable playing in some of these playoff series. You know what I mean? If you have Gobert, he's not going to be able to guard Anthony Davis. He's not quick enough to do that. And he's not quick enough to guard Harden in those pick-and-rolls. Like, he's just going to get ran off the court there. Only series I feel like he has a chance is against the Nuggets of being valuable, where he can guard Jokic.
Yeah.
Even Dallas, I feel like, has to feel good about their chances just because Dallas might have a top five player in the league right now. Like, in this bubble, like Luka, what he did yesterday deserves its own segment. How sick do you have to be if you're a Sacramento Kings fan right now?
Oh, man.
You went to the bubble. You thought you had some type of chance. Marvin Bagley out. And then you go and you play Luka and the Dallas Mavericks yesterday while keeping in mind that you had the number two pick in the draft 2 years ago. You had the number two pick in the draft. You know, if you're Phoenix and you drafted Ayton, you're like, you know what? We're not ready to give up on Ayton yet. Ayton still looks pretty good. That's a good complimentary piece to Booker. We're okay with that right now. You know, they're probably not kicking themselves just yet. If you're Sacramento, though, and you're looking at Marvin Bagley, like Marvin Bagley hasn't done anything really in 2 years to make you feel good about him. And you could have had you could have had Luka. And then last night, Luka drops 32 points, 20 rebounds, and 10 assists on your head. 34 points and grabbed 20 rebounds.
20 rebounds.
And practically, basically, all but ended your season by beating you in the bubble. Insult to injury. You didn't draft Luka, and he reminded you the very first chance he got to play you in an important game, he busted your ass.
Yeah, he's really good. I'm still fine with the Hawks' choices, but also, Luka's good. Luka's good. Luka is who I wanted out of the draft too, but he has backed up his hype for sure. He was unreal yesterday.
That'll be fun to see. Because when you get to the playoffs and we're almost there, you have players that could try to carry you through a playoff series, and you know, seeing those guys in those pressure situations, you usually see a fifth gear, right? Yep. You see a gear shift. You see someone take it to another level. I do feel like Luka is one of those guys who is going to do that.
Yeah, absolutely. I think last night was just a glimpse of that for sure. And
it's Sacramento, so I'm not going to judge too much. Like, it was kind of embarrassing that they were even struggling with that team.
Yeah.
But like seeing him in a playoff series, especially if we get like Dallas versus the Clippers, Luka going up against Kawhi and Paul George. I want to see that to see what the young bull has. That'll be a huge test for him. And I think, you know, even yesterday, shout out to Devin Booker for sinking the game winner to beat the Clippers yesterday. He's another one of those guys. Like, so far in his career, you know, he's, 5 years into his career at this point? Is that right?
Yeah.
4 years or five years? Because I know he already got his big extension. So I
want to
sure
say five, and that would make sense.
You know, he hasn't really played any big games in those 5 years by being with the Suns. Like, he's just been kind of stuck in terms of, you know, I'm on the Suns. We stink. But yesterday, you see them there in the bubble, and he has his chance for a moment. And what's he do? Sinks a game winner right over Paul George. And I don't know if you saw the footage of them partying in the locker room. They were partying as if they had just clinched a playoff spot. They were pouring beer all over his head. So those games matter, and you saw Booker rise to the occasion. It's year five for him.
Yeah, he got drafted in 2015. So
year five for him. So you saw him rise to the occasion. So I am excited about some of these teams, seeing what their guys can do.
Yeah.
Luka, maybe number one on that in terms of getting his first chance to make a statement in the playoffs.
That was kind of why, nothing against the Grizzlies fans, but I was kind of hoping to see Portland in the playoffs because I want to see what, Dame and McCollum kind of – they take over sometimes, and I love watching that. I enjoy watching it.
I would even say I know what Dame can do. I've seen what Dame can do, so I didn't mind the opportunity to see what any of these young guys on the Grizzlies could do in terms of Ja or Jaren Jackson Jr., because I do think Ja is someone who is wired competitively where he will take it up a level when it matters, which has been kind of disappointing because he struggled so far in this bubble. But it's not from a competitive shying away from the moment. It's almost even trying too hard when you tell me he shoots 10 threes.
Yeah. When he knows that's not his game, too. So
same for the Pelicans. I want to see like what Brandon Ingram and Lonzo and, of course, Zion does. Been a little disappointed in them so far, too.
It would have been kind of nice, that Lakers, because I think they would have had the chip on their shoulder. So they would have tried to give them their all. But
they're not eliminated yet, and there is some potential there of going back to, when would that be, like 2010? Would that have been like the 2010 Thunder team that came in and took the – I guess it would be the 2010 Thunder team that took the Lakers to 6 games.
Yeah.
The year they went on to win a championship. Like, you had Kevin Durant and Russell Westbrook and James Harden getting their first taste of the playoffs, and they gave the Lakers everything they wanted, and eventually before losing in Game 6 in Oklahoma City, like on a Pau Gasol tip-in. Like, they barely lost that Game 6 before forcing a huge Game 7 as an 8 seed. So, the Pelicans have that type of potential.
Shoot, the Hawks did that in 08 to the Celtics. That 7-game series.
Well, I would say
everybody thought they were going to get swept.
Well,
yeah.
I would say it wasn't different. Like you took the next step of coming like an elite team.
Eventually
became like a 4 seed after that. And like, the Hawks were competitive and one of the best in the East, but never like a championship contender.
Yeah.
Stakes weren't necessarily as high as they were for like watching Durant have his first moment on the big stage. Joe Johnson didn't hit quite the same, although he performed great in 08 as well.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
All right, let's play some overrated, underrated coming up next.
We know, my friend.
Overrated. I want to tell you why.
I think that's a solid rated right there. It's perfect rated.
He underrated, man. He has some swag. He has some real swag.
Lobsters are underrated. They don't die.
All right. Who's ready to play overrated, underrated?
We are.
I am.
Sure, turn your mics on first.
I am.
We are excited to
Sorry.
Play.
All right. First up, we've got laser tag.
We hit the drums. Still not hearing the drums? Okay. Boom.
There we go.
Oh, laser tag. I say laser tag's underrated. I love laser tag. There's nothing like running around, pushing over some kids while you're just following that one guy that sucks around and just taking advantage of him.
You would be the one to just follow somebody. You're probably your little brother. You put your little brother on the other team, then you follow him, and you're shooting him in the back.
No, I love laser tag. We had a nice one back home in Georgia. I haven't played in so long. We had like a nice second level and everything, and I would always be up there sniping people cross map. It was all. I love laser tag. It makes me feel like I'm really doing something when I'm in there. I'm really good at it too. Not even if I just follow people around. I held the record at the Knoxville laser tag for like a few months when I was up here one time. Oh, yeah.
The record for what? The most points?
Yeah, I had a ton of points, yeah. I was winning all the games. It was so nice. I loved laser tag. I wish I could play it more. I need people to come play laser tag with me, I guess.
Best thing
is
about
that even
tag,
open?
Best thing about laser tag is the air condition. It's always so cold in that room, and you're running around, and they used to like blare some music in while you're playing, so you're jamming out with your friends and just sitting up there. I used to like getting in the sniper towers.
Yeah,
taking the coward's way, taking the coward's way out of hiding and just trying to shoot people. I love laser tag, too. I'll say it's
I got underrated.
Is it underrated or overrated? Because I rate it pretty highly. Do I want to play laser tag or whatever? I'd rather just go play paintball. Paintball's outside. It's too hot. Paintball hurts worse. It does suck when your gun malfunctions, though. That could happen in any sport.
Yeah.
Your equipment malfunction. Laser tag, underrated.
Underrated. All right. Second up, we got golf.
Is this to play or watch on TV? Either. I'll say it's been pretty underrated to watch on TV. I used to not really care for it unless Tiger was in contention, but I found it very peaceful. I've really turned to it the last 2 months of watching basically Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, catching parts of all the tournaments. I probably know more about golf than anybody in this room for sure. In the studio, at the whole station, maybe. Billy feels like he knows a lot about golf. Is Billy still at the studio? I haven't seen Billy in forever. Does Billy still work here?
I haven't seen him either.
I haven't seen Billy. I mean, I feel like Billy knows a lot. Maybe I yield to Billy. But other than that, I've watched a lot. I'm up to date on everything. Playing, I still don't know. Playing so far, to me, seems a little overrated. Just so far, it seems expensive. And I haven't gotten to the point where I get any satisfaction out of hitting shots, so... Maybe once that happens, I'll change my mind. But so far, it's sweaty, it's hot. And very rarely are you going to feel good enough about yourself to justify it. You know what I mean? Like, what's the end game here? Am I ever going to be able to go out shoot, like, under par? No. So I'm still going to, like, be mad when I get bogey. You know what I mean? Like, I'm still going to feel like a loser.
Bogey's better than triple bogey, though.
Bogey is better than triple bogey. You are right about that. And maybe it's about the camaraderie. Like, I did have fun. I went and played with my friends.
Yeah.
So maybe, like, group outing. Group golfing, really underrated. Solo golfing, I haven't done, but I don't feel like I would like it. I feel like I would just be very mad the whole time. So I'll go playing golf, slightly overrated. Watching golf, underrated. Playing golf, overrated. Playing group golf, properly rated.
I gotta go overrated on the watching. I rarely watch anything outside like the last, you know, last Sunday or anything. I'll have it on usually, like if I have it on, it's usually just background noise. But playing, I think, is underrated. I loved playing golf. I used to play a ton of golf before I got super busy the past few years. But yeah, I love playing, especially like you said, when you're out there with your friends and your boys and stuff, it's a good time to be out there. Just hitting it, just, oh, no, I think, I'm like the guy that, you know, he was talking about yesterday, but giggles every time he messes up. That's me when I'm playing golf. I'm just imagine, like, ah, crap, I did it.
Yeah, yeah, much like Victor Hovland, I can imagine you guys are having the same type of medication before your rounds of golf.
No,
I'd imagine there's some similar things going there.
I like to be focused on the golf course,
stay,
you know.
Stay off the weed.
I like to be focused on the golf course.
You and Victor Hovland, seems about right, seems perfect. Yes, you are just like him. You are 100% accurate.
Playing golf is a blast. I love playing golf. The cart people roll around like, hey, you want another beer? Like, yeah, I want another beer. I'm playing golf. Yeah, it's a good time. Playing golf is awesome. I need to get back out there, but my brothers broke all my clubs, so now I have no golf clubs. Mm. But, yeah.
On accident? Or
no, they were just, yeah, pretty much an accident. Okay. Yeah, they're out there. They took them out without my permission back home, and my dad sent me a video like, hey, they're playing with your clubs, and they just proceeded to break them all. So,
wow.
Yeah, there goes my golfing life.
Okay. Next, we got drive-thrus.
Drive-thrus.
Wait till the drum's done. You've done this game long enough. I mean, it's done now. It's been done.
Okay, drive-thrus. I gotta go overrated. I think it's, like, the convenience is nice and all, but I've had plenty of times where, like, it would have been quicker if I just would have went inside. Like, I could have went inside, gone super quick, or they've messed up my order, and then I drove away, and I'm like, well, now I don't want to, like, go back over there. Like, if I walk inside and I look at my bag and my order is wrong, I'd be like, oh, hey, hold up, like, you gave me this, something like that. So I got to go a little overrated in drive-thrus. It's just, the convenience is nice, but sometimes they don't hear you right through the speakers. It's just a whole thing sometimes. Like, I've had some bad drive-thru experiences.
Yeah, no, you're exactly right here, Cam. Drive-thrus, it's going to be shocking because whenever you first ask, I'm like, who the hell is going to say underrated? But no, yeah. You're exactly right. Drive-thrus are very overrated. I don't even really go through drive-thrus very much anymore these days. I mean, like, sure, some places you kind of have to because you can't go dine in right now because everything's closed because of COVID. But I either run in, get it, and sit down and eat, or I could do the app and just drive up and park. I don't drive through. I drive up and park, and you bring it out to me. Changing the game. Tell you what I want. Pay for it. Don't have to worry about getting my debit card out because it's already in my phone. Boom. You bring it out to me. I drive off. It's perfect.
That's underrated.
I can park my car, handle business. Don't have to worry about brake, unbrake, yelling into the speaker. No, just boom, boom, boom. Order before you get there. Boom, hit your there. They bring it out. Bada boom, bada bing. Drive through. Going to be obsolete. That's not true. Drive-thru is obsolete in my life unless you're closed because of COVID. And, you know, I don't want to download your app because I don't want that many on my phone. Like, I love Arby's, you know what I mean? But, like, am I going to get the Arby's app? How would you feel if you had the Arby's app on your phone? You know what I mean? I feel like a fat ass. I would at least. Like, hey, I got the Arby's app on my phone. Let me a girl has to see your phone. Arby's.
Why is Arby's on the front page? So
the favorites list.
Most frequently used Arby's app, huh? Interesting. Like, don't get me wrong. The Chick-fil-A app, I rock with. That one's okay. You know why? Women love Chick-fil-A. They won't
And they
judge.
Give you rewards.
Yeah, they give you rewards. Well, I think all of them give you rewards. Like, basically anyone that you give loyalty to. That's like, fair. Look, don't get me wrong. Love Jersey Mike's. Am I Dell on the app? No. I'll go in. I'll type in my number. I'll give you that. I'm not keeping the Jersey Mike's app on my phone. Again, feel like that's just a little crazy.
A little excessive.
I have the Jersey Mike's app.
That seems a little intense. Hey, I don't know. Do you order on there?
Yes.
You actually order on there, and then do you just like go pick it up?
You pick it up, yeah.
See, I don't mind staying in line there because it's usually like 5 minutes. I don't mind walking in, going through and ordering. Especially when I go, like if I went like at lunchtime, maybe differently, but I go like at 11:30 or so. It's not that bad.
The one in Kingsport is like always packed out the door. So, like, that's why I use it.
Okay. I mean, that's fine. It's, you know, I'm not judging. I'm just saying I don't have the Jersey Mike's app.
All right.
The Arby's one, though. Yeah. Imagine having an Arby's app. Imagine a woman sees that. Oh, my God. She's like, what is wrong with you?
What food apps I even have?
I love roast beef, baby.
All right, next we got Doomsday prepping.
We have the meats.
Oh, Doomsday prepping. I'll go underrated on Doomsday prepping. I actually have a friend that Doomsday preps a little bit. It's really interesting because when he talks about it, I'm like, huh, you're a Doomsday prepper. But when he tells me about it, I'm like, well, if something pops off, I'm going to find him because he's got it planned out. He's got stuff settled. He knows like all the survival skills and stuff like that. And I think that's important to know. Even if you're not really full Doomsday prepping, I think the survival tips and things like that can be useful. You never know when something pops off. Say you're in Lebanon yesterday. Something popped off. If you didn't have survival skills, crap, you're in trouble. But if you Doomsday prepped or something, had a little bunker, you're good to go. So I'm going to say a little underrated on Doomsday prepping. I do need to get a little better with some stuff like that.
Here's what I'll say about Doomsday prepping. It's very overrated until it isn't.
Yeah, they were feeling vindicated a few months ago.
That's what I'm saying. Like, until it isn't overrated, it's very overrated. Like, you got a lot of rice and unperishable foods. You got some guns, some gallons of water, a lot of gas underneath, like somewhere that you're stocking up for the generators. Like, all that seems really kooky and crazy until you need it. Is that fair to say? Like, eventually it's going to be very, very underrated. Like, those of us who aren't Doomsday preppers, we're like, what the hell were we thinking? Why do I have all these stocks and bonds? Why not invest in like gold and rice, guns? Stuff that I can actually use when the world goes to hell, because your stocks and bonds ain't going to do anything for you when the world goes to hell. You know what I mean, Hayden?
Yeah.
You could turn your money into animals that you could harvest and kill yourselves.
Mm-hmm.
A gardener to teach you how to the ways of the land.
You have a whole bunch of seeds loaded up somewhere, and you could just grow. But nope.
Nope. You're too busy.
Mm-mm-mm.
Going out on the weekends.
Trying to invest.
Okay, last up, we got toes.
We hit a drum here, Hayden, after we get the category.
We don't need your opinion on this. We already know. Cam, go first.
Toes, I gotta go overrated, I guess. I guess I gotta go overrated.
What?
They're useful for walking. Don't get me wrong.
How are they
you kinda need them.
How are they overrated?
But toes gotta suck. Like, you stub them on stuff, and then you're like, ah, crap. Or you get, like, a nail messed up with something. Toes have their flaws. And then there's the people that are in the feet fetish, and they're like, hey, show me your toes. Like, no, I don't want to see pictures of toes everywhere. That's not me.
It doesn't have to be classified as a fetish to like and think that toes are pretty. Feet are pretty.
Yes.
When you're asking for pictures of toes, I'm classifying that as a fetish.
What is the definition of a fetish if it's not like liking them, looking at them?
So, I mean, I like food. Do I have a food fetish?
Yeah, I probably do.
I like eating chicken sandwiches. Is that considered a chicken sandwich fetish?
If you're asking for pictures of them from someone, it's definitely a fetish.
Yeah, okay, that's fine.
That's what you just said wasn't the case.
No, I said it's not a fetish just to like something is what I said.
Now you said you like looking at pictures of them.
No, I said I like looking at feet.
We'll roll it back. You said pictures. You said pictures.
Absolutely not. Absolutely not. I did not say that because I do not like feet pictures. I said I like touching feet. I like putting toes in my mouth. I like sticking my tongue in between toes. I like smelling toes. If a woman ever asked me to clip her toenails, you know what I do with that? I would say, no, I'm not going to clip your toenails because I'm going to bite them off of my teeth. I'm going to nibble them just like you needed. Feet are beautiful. Toes are part of the feet. And imagine how ugly a foot would look without toes. How ugly would a foot look without toes?
Yeah, that's fair,
Imagine if you didn't have toes. Imagine if I removed all 10 of your toes right now.
You couldn't walk.
Yeah,
that's fair.
So how are they overrated? Do we need them so badly? And they're beautiful.
I don't know. I always borderline almost unfollow Ocho Cinco on Twitter because he always likes to quote tweet pictures of girls that send in toes pics. I'm like, why are you doing this? But yeah,
And for the record, fetish is described as a form of sexual desire in which gratification is linked to an abnormal degree to a particular object. Item of clothing, part of the body, et cetera, et cetera. I do not have an abnormal degree of gratification from the toes. I just don't neglect them. There's a difference, Hayden.
I'm neglecting to mess out some toes. Do not stick your toes in my face, anywhere around me. Keep them down there. Keep them where they're supposed to be.
Rex Ryan, that's a foot fetish guy. I'm not a foot fetish guy, and I'm tired of you putting me in the box. I know why you did this. You made this category just to try to make me out to be creepy foot fetish guy. I'm not creepy foot fetish guy. Do I like feet? Yes, but I've told you, I like all parts of a woman. All parts.
I'm probably
you guys are neglecting
toes.
The feet.
I'm going to neglect
feet. No one ever tickled your foot? Imagine how good that would feel. Imagine a woman tickling your foot. Would you want her to neglect your feet?
I have ticklish feet, so.
Yeah,
like
please
that.
Don't tickle my feet.
Hayden gets tickled and
I don't even like open-toed shoes.
Yes. Breaks her neck, and there goes the party. Nose all bloody after you tickled Hayden the wrong way.
I won't even wear open-toed shoes. I'm
don't like
overrated
your feet.
Toes.
I don't like your toes.
Well, you won't ever really see them.
Good.
I'm always wearing shoes.
I know what you're trying to do here, Hayden. You're trying to paint me as creepy foot fetish guy, and I don't appreciate
it. You're doing that yourself.
No. It's not
talking
a fetish.
About licking them.
It's not an abnormal thing. I'll lick any part of a woman's body. Nose, neck, shoulders, toes. Last call on the other side. Hey, bro, it's the last call. It's two times in a row. Maybe by Friday he'll figure it out.
You gotta be on your toes, man.
Gotta be on your toes. You rattled over there? We play last call. Play last call. Cut the mics off. Last call on the program is brought to you by our friends at Volunteer Vodka, award-winning vodka distilled in the hills of Tennessee. Stop by and pick you up a bottle. Many people just trying to paint me as foot fetish guy. It's not a foot fetish. It's not a fetish. It is not a fetish. It's not. It's not. Okay? Let's do some pump the brakes or keep rolling. Cam, how about you go first, please?
All right, I can do that. Man wins this.
Okay.
Michigan man won a $2 million lottery jackpot after the clerk gave him the wrong ticket. He asked for a $10 Lucky 7 scratch-off ticket at a gas station, but decided to keep the $20 ticket that was given to him by mistake. And he ends up getting lucky and scratching it off and won $2 million. So...
Do you owe the person who sold you that?
I'd probably try and slime a little bit. Like I don't,
hey,
even though it was a mistake, I'd be like, hey.
You did this for
yeah,
me.
Yeah, like, you lucked it up.
Your incompetence did it for me, but.
Yeah, he offered to exchange it. The guy said he offered to exchange it for me, but something told me to keep it.
Yeah.
And I'm sure glad I did. Well, of course, yeah.
You can't exchange it. It would have been really funny, though, had someone come in and bought the tickets he wanted right after him and won a bunch of money like that.
Yeah, yeah.
I imagine that would have been pretty funny. But so $2 million, huh?
Yeah. Jeez. Good trade-off for 20 bucks. Good investment there by him.
Huge sports league about to do something radical.
Ooh, I'll stop.
Yes. Yes. Yes.
Are you familiar with the Premier League?
Yes. Yes, I am.
Hayden, are you familiar with the Premier League?
Yes.
Well, the Premier League is looking at letting fans drink booze in the stadium next year so that more people will be encouraged to show up. They are trying to, I guess, get people there and try to compensate for some of the money lost. Did you realize? This seems kind of crazy to me because when I think of, like, European soccer, I think of, like, guys boozing and having fun out there. But they have not allowed people to drink during the Premier League for 35 years.
I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Like, that's
They have had a ban on alcohol for 35 years, and they are considering lifting it next season.
Interesting. I had no idea they didn't have beer at the stadiums. Okay,
35
that's big
years.
Time. Yeah, that's big time, Vin. Interesting. That's pretty crazy.
I don't know why they put it in. I mean, I imagine they've just been pretty rowdy. I've already seen, like, stuff where, like, you know, these guys are always, like, fighting. You know, I've seen Green Street Hooligans, you know what I mean? Like, seen that movie. I know what goes on there. So I guess, like, nah, they just get too rowdy. But now they're saying they're considering lifting it.
Interesting. All right, I got Wedding Crasher.
Part 2? The movie?
Pump your brakes, kid.
No, there was a wedding crasher. Bride's wedding day was ruined by a woman claiming to be pregnant with the groom's child.
Oh, no.
So, yeah, it apparently got posted on TikTok and everything, like a video of the chick showing up. But, yeah, the couple was moments away from being, like, officially married, and a woman crashed their ceremony.
Was it real?
Yeah, like, this really happened.
You know what I mean? Was it a prank, or did she, like, really think that was his baby, or was she just trying to, was she, like, on drugs? Was she trying to mess somebody's life up? Do we know what the outcome is of this story? Because I think it matters.
Let me get to the bottom of it. See if you can figure it out,
because I want to know, was this a past lover, or is this just a really, really bad coincidence and bad timing for this guy? Like, did he happen to be in the wrong place at the wrong time as some crazy woman dropped in?
Oh, it doesn't.
All the time in the world here.
Oh, man. They were fighting and stuff, though. The lady was throwing flowers at him. She was yelling, like, Anthony, I know you hear me. I got your baby here. It doesn't say, like, if what actually happened. I guess I would. Like, if she actually knew, maybe the guy was really just, like, pretending like he didn't know her, but actually did.
Yeah, that's what you gotta do is, whoa, this woman's crazy. No.
Yeah, because she kept yelling. She's like, Anthony, you pretend like you didn't know me? Didn't get your psych meds today? The pastor was, like, powering through and just ignoring her and still reading the vows while this lady was yelling.
I feel like that just makes it worse.
Yeah, a little bit. I feel like you gotta almost acknowledge it. But yeah,
you got to offer, like, you guys want to step outside? Like, do you guys want to step into private? Like, I mean, right? I mean, instead of screaming in front of, like, your family and everything, would it not be better just be like, hey, you guys maybe want to go handle this? I don't know, because if you're the bride and groom, like, if you, I don't know. I feel like you just take a time out and just start over is what I would do if it was my wedding. I'd be like, you know what? Time out. Go handle this. We're going to do everything again. We're walking back to the aisle, same way. Much like we did whenever you messed up last call, Hayden. Just start it over and pretend it didn't happen and just roll on.
The bride's daughter was trying to fight this lady. It was, they were like trying
the
to hold her back.
Bride's daughter?
Yeah. So, I don't know.
How old is she?
I have no idea.
What's going on in this wedding?
Yeah, this is an adventure.
5-star Isaiah Wilson, who is now, you know, the Titans' first-round pick. Okay.
Stop.
Did you see why he says he decommitted from Alabama?
It was something about, like, a hug with Saban or something?
He said when he committed to Alabama, Nick Saban did not give him a hug. He said he wanted a hug from Nick Saban. Nick Saban did not hug him. Nick Saban stuck his arm out for a handshake. And then Isaiah Wilson, you know, 5-star lineman that played at Georgia.
Yeah.
Ended up being a first-round pick, really good. Says at that moment he realized he didn't want to play for Saban because Saban didn't love him. So he decommitted. Ended up at Georgia.
Yeah. That's wild. Saban doesn't seem like a hugger, though.
No, Saban doesn't seem like a hugger.
So that makes sense, but...
They gave him a hug at Georgia, though.
He says Kirby Smart gave him a hug. He says He says Kirby Smart gave him a hug and that Kirby loved him and that he made the right decision and he was comfortable with his decision.
Guess whatever works out, whatever your thing is, huh?
Do we think Pruitt's hugging people?
I hope. I'm a hugger.
Yeah, I was saying now I hope so.
Butch definitely was.
That's fine. I'm not going to put Butch down for being a hugger. I mean, I like hugs.
I got a hug from Butch once.
If any of you guys ever want a hug?
Really?
Yeah, I did. I met him once.
Wow.
He gave you a hug?
Yeah, because I took a picture with him. Back in the day. It was like my freshman year. Before I realized how incompetent he was. No, I didn't want his autograph.
Did you frame the picture?
No.
It drives up next. Stay locked in on Fan Run Radio.